Get to Old Navy right now. All jeans are on sale up to 50% off. From just $15 for adults, $10 for kids. Try on a pair in-store and save even more with $5 off your purchase of $50 or more during Old Navy's Great Denim Try-On-A-Thon. Hurry in now to find your perfect fit and save big with up to 50% off all jeans. Now at Old Navy. Valid 8/12 to 8/21. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane items, and jewelry. $5 discount valid with jeans purchase.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 82 of Tatooine Sons. Since the reset of Star Wars canon in 2012, the storytellers at Lucasfilm have been inserting an idea of the Emperor's contingency within books, games, animation, and more. But a recent set of leaks suggests that this idea is bigger than we could even dream. We'll tread carefully through the rumors and speculation. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and a whole lot more.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream... That Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by Samuel the Hutt.
Oh, you messed up.
No, I meant to do that because you were copying me.
I was mocking him. He did it wrong. You got to do it right.
Now
I'm joined first by...
My brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Thank you.
There we go.
There we go. A true Star Wars fan, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably have no idea what we're talking about.
You may need to change your intro.
Oh, yeah.
I just tweeted to As confirm false. This with Pablo and with Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo and Matt Martin. But my understanding is that the word achuta is, according to a canon comic book, a word used in the Star Wars universe that is very insulting, Hutt's expletive, used as a curse word, probably translates to, and I'm not going to read any of them.
Okay.
Untranslatable.
Cool.
So much so that when E-3PO in Return of the Jedi says it to C-3PO, C-3PO's response is,
How rude.
That's not good.
Okay, sorry for everybody that we've sent cards out to.
So for 82 episodes, we've been sending Achuta cards and everything else. We've been saying bad words to you, maybe. Hopefully we can get some clarification on that. But that may make you have to rethink your intro, Samuel DeHaan.
Maybe. Okay. And of course.
Yeah, we're having a hard time getting started today.
That was just, I didn't know that. And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So here's my dad's bow tie drag.
Oh, you sound so hesitant.
It's just,
you look like you got punched in the eye today.
I did almost.
By a Star Wars cap? You guys were tussling, wrestling around?
Basically headbutt me with his bill.
Where'd you get that cap, Samuel?
This is Celebration 2017.
Well, it's actually my cap.
Yeah, but what did you
get? They gave us two because we both went up on stage. Sorry?
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, no, we got it when we went up on stage for the 40 Years of 3PO panel. Yeah. Nathan got some sunglasses.
I still don't know where those are.
You lost them a long time ago. All right. all right. BB Nate, you had a birthday last week.
I did.
Happy birthday! Yay!
It wasn't Star Wars themed, though.
No, he went with Batman this year.
No problem.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely. You could be your own person and do what you want for your own birthday.
Wait, what?
I mean, no, it was good. So we had a great time.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
Went to the eSports arena.
Yeah, at Walmart. We had his birthday party.
But it was a big eSports arena that's in the Walmart.
What's cool is, if you don't know how this place works, this is sort of just like a small branch, right? And they'll do little mini tournaments every night for money and stuff. And then usually the winners will be sent to bigger tournaments and bigger until there's like this final tournament. So it's like, it's not just
LA,
this one little.
It's huge.
Right. It's not just this one little thing in Walmart. It's a full blown like esports thing. So
that Pablo just responded. Hidalgo directly responded. And the word Achuta said, my question specifically was, question for missing words, which is Matt Martin and or Pablo Hidalgo. Is Achuta really a bad word in Hatties? Asking for a friend, an 18-year-old kid who says it every week on a family-friendly podcast. And his response within minutes, because I did it as we were doing the intro. While the intro sequence was playing, you were listening to it, I was typing it. And that's how quickly Pablo responded. I had heard this last week and I had forgotten to ask. Sure is... We've never translated it, so it's got to be bad, smiley face.
I got a bad feeling about this.
All right. So you get to tweet to us and give us a new intro for Samuel DeHaan. Because what I read that it actually is interpreted as meaning is really bad. Like, the word. You know, like if you go back to the Christmas Story movie, night, but I didn't say fudge. I said the word. That's what Achuta means.
That's a good movie.
Oh my God.
I got a bad feeling about
this. Really just figure out what the word is for hello, because I Googled it and it was Achuta.
Okay, we'll have to come up with a new one.
And it said hello. So.
All right, hold on. Let me respond to Pablo, because.
Do the whole office.
I mean, he is Pablo for
the do the Michael Scott going, that thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a good one.
No, that's like, I'll kill you. That's I'll kill you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not it. Okay, so anyway. All right, so we went to the eSports arena. Tell us about the games that you guys played.
Oh.
What did you play?
I played some Smash Bros. For like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us an extra hour, I think, because it was just like we had a bunch of trouble. And then I played some Overwatch, I think. I think that was it.
Play a little Overwatch.
Yeah, and that was it. I found that better at the PC version.
What'd you play, Samuel?
Well, for most of it, I was trying to get my my computer to work and the account to work. But after that, I played some newer game called Splitgate. I'm gonna talk to the gamers here, so you're not gonna.
Yeah, go for it, man. I'm trying to retweet to Mr. Pablo Hidalgo. Anyway,
basically, Splitgate is if you combine Portal and a first-person shooter. And it can create some crazy stuff, completely changes how you play a first-person shooter. It was a lot of fun. We still got hours left over, so we're going to go over there, and I'm going to play that game again. But after that, then I went on their VR headset, which actually usually costs extra money, but they let me do it anyway, which was cool. And played some Beat Saber, and then did some game called Pavlov. It's like CSGO, but in VR. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, what did I play? They went old school. Yeah. Oh, the guys were so excited at the eSports arena because I came in and I'm like, I know nothing about any of these games. They're like, we've got an N64. They're like, we'll hook it up for you. So they hooked up an N64, Nintendo 64, and then they had Star Wars Pod Racing. That was my game when I had the N64, baby.
I think we have that on PlayStation.
Woo-hoo! I know, but I enjoyed that immensely. Cool. But it's cool, too, because
he knows how to hold the three-prong.
Yeah, I've always did that.
So it's what if
you do it sideways, like this doesn't happen.
If you're using the D-pad, you normally hold it like that. But if you're using the joystick,
and the pad up here is the trigger down below.
Oh,
see, your dad knows his games. 20 years ago.
Old games, yeah.
Anyway. And so, yeah, we played that. But it's really cool because they were totally excited about Star Wars. We were all wearing our Star Wars stuff. Well, except for me.
No.
Wearing Batman shirt because it was a Batman party. But, yeah, we went over there and I had my Turbis shirt on and we were talking about that. And I was telling them about the show, the podcast. And we started talking about Jedi Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about they were going to be getting that on at the esports arena when it comes out. We talked about maybe doing a live show.
Because all their games are competitive online multiplayer games. Yeah. How are they getting a single player? I wonder if it'll have multiplayer competitive.
I don't know. Anyway, but they want to get it. And they also talked about like coming in and doing a show there, live streaming it, doing like some like old school games, Star Wars games and streaming those. They've got a Twitch account and they want to put that up there.
And it's a big Twitch account. Like we said, this isn't just a small thing. This is big.
Yeah, so we talked about doing a show there. That'll be cool. We're also thinking about looking at getting one set up for the actual release date of Jedi Fallen Order at the local GameStop. They expect about 200 people to come for the opening. For the
midnight release?
I'm not sure. I'm going to talk with them Friday.
That'd be cool if we could... Yeah, just get there a few hours early, record.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So, yeah, and then we're getting closer to back to school.
Yay.
Yeah. So.
Nate's going into high school. I'm going back to college.
Yeah, what, a couple more weeks for you guys?
We got about a couple
weeks. 2 more weeks. That'll be cool. We did get a couple of reviews last week, or the last couple of weeks since the last episode. So that's kind of cool. 2 reviews. So I'll read those. So the first one is from GBKJ19.
Okay.
Is that a droid, maybe?
I have no idea.
Like an off-brand droid?
Maybe. We got to be careful with
that. Yeah, I know, for sure. 5 stars, thank you very much. Great family show. That's what the title of it is. As a father, I really enjoy listening to this family's discussions about the greatest movie series of all time. Not only are you an amazing... Your discernment with Star Wars with movies is great. Thank you so much. That's me speaking in.
Right.
But your discernment in podcasts is... great as well. Thank you.
If we do say so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard being this humble. The next one is another 5-star. Great podcast. This one's from Michael Lee Howard.
Thanks for making
that one's
easy.
A lot easier. Thank you. it's a great one. I love this one. I listened to a few Star Wars podcasts, and this one is tops.
Wow.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. These are tried and true Star Wars fans. I'm amazed at the detail and intelligence. Obviously, they're talking about me. Everybody of this family brings to the podcast. Each person in this family trio has a unique view and shares these in a way that any age group can relate. It's refreshing to hear ideas and speculations mixed with backed up facts. That's a really good review. Mm-hmm.
propping up our egos.
Yeah,
here.
Thanks. This podcast has made me open up my mind about all aspects of the Star Wars universe. Thank you. Then shifting gears, I just want you guys to know that those of you that are out there tweeting #MakeTurbisCanon, there's movement happening.
There's hope.
We got our fingers crossed. Some news came out to us this week for BB Nate's birthday that was like encouraging.
Very.
So, we're holding our breath. Not literally, cause then we'd die. But there's been some positive momentum, and it's because you guys are so awesome. And some of you guys, Younglings Podcast and a bunch of others sort of led the charge on BB Nate's birthday last week, getting cool. his people to tweet to Pablo, and some others, about Make Troopers Canon. That's so cool. Thank you for doing that. All right, I guess that's going to cover the preliminaries. Let's get into the show.
Say Metro by T-Mobile. Got the best deal in wireless, and it's all for you, all for me. Just switch quickly, because Metro has 2 lines for $80 and 2 Samsung Galaxy J7 Star phones for free. Plus Amazon Prime included. That's the way wireless should be, only at Metro.
Plus sales tax and activation fee. $50 plus rate plan required. Not valid for numbers currently on T-Mobile network or on Metro in past 90 days. Offer subject to change. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 per month value. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
What?
No!
All right, so last episodes. Did you see how I did that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't even last week's. So I would have been wrong if I had said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks. Last episode's podcast poll of the week was all about Finn. We had talked last episode about whether or not Finn was potentially force sensitive. Mm-hmm. And our conclusion on the show was no.
No.
We don't think that he is, right? Wasn't that your conclusion, BB Nate?
I think it was the general.
He's nodding his head again.
I think you were uncertain about
that. I was leaning toward. No, I actually said at the end, no. I was trying. I was keeping the idea going throughout the show so we had something to talk about with
right.
it. But then at the end, I was like, yeah, he's not force sensitive.
No.
So.
Just no.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a couple on here. We had about 432. We had 432 votes, which was good. Now, what was interesting was that it started off with No being like the runaway winner for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little something happened. And the poll swung. Other comment below only got 1%. There was enough comments on there, one of them in particular, which we're going to get to in a minute. 16% said they were uncertain. 37% said no, and a whopping 46%. Guys, if this is a political campaign, that's called a landslide, folks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
No, seriously, it is.
Under 10%.
No, in a poll or in a vote, that's like a landslide. 46% said yes. Now, like I mentioned, it started where it was completely the opposite direction times two. It was about 80% no, and then 10%. Yes. Mm-hmm. But then a little something happened. We'll get to that in a second. Who's got this first comment here below?
So this is from at Space Opera Mom. Her actual username right now is just a C. Okay.
Yeah, but she's from here in Colorado Springs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So maybe when we have one of these meetups, she can come say hi. We'd love to meet you in person. So anyway.
She said, I think only in the way that everyone has the Force, not just the Sith and the Jedi.
That's a good
one. So everyone's connected sort of thing, which I would agree with.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Everyone's got some access.
Okay, mine's Han Spinel.
Spinel.
With a little sun behind it.
Aww.
And his Twitter handle is Han_Spinel.
That's it. Yeah.
She says, it's not about lightsabers. It's about his...
Canonical
awakening.
Yeah. And then a debate broke out underneath Han's little comment there. Not a debate, but some conversation. And within just a couple of minutes of the conversation started to really heat up, a certain cast member from The Force Awakens,
the sequel trilogy,
The Last Jedi, and the soon-to-be-released, not soon enough, The Rise of Skywalker, who has a little bit of knowledge.
Insight. Yeah.
Maybe based on that. I mean, since he does play the character of Finn, Mr. John Boyega.
Yeah, he probably know a little bit about the character.
He does. He didn't tweet, like, you know, a comment specifically.
Mm-mm.
Just a gif. It's a gif of a guy sitting in a car looking down and then looking up at the camera, kind of breaking the fourth wall type situation with this grin creeping across his face, like, I know something you don't know. And at that point, that poll took on a life of its own for about 24 hours.
Yes
became the prominent. So you guys think that we may have totally missed the boat and Finn is, or is he just trolling us? Like his dad, Mark Hamill.
He claims that's
his dad.
Oh.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker is Finn's dad.
So. Oh, okay.
I feel like that he is trolling. That just seems like him. I don't know, but it just seems like he would be like that.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of playing around with the fans. He's been known to do that.
He has.
I think he's just having fun with it.
Do you think we'll show up on another express.co.uk?
Worst things.
Woo!
Best things
so. That'd
happen
be awesome.
in the internet in 2019 or whatever.
Well, thank you guys so much for that.
That was a cool poll.
It was a great poll. I want to mention that today's prod... Let me try that again. try this again. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You can consider picking up A Crash of Fate by Zoraida Cordova or Star Wars Myths and Fables by George Mann.
I still need to get that book.
Which one?
I thought that Myths book was Fables. Like mainly about...
If you order it through our website, so we can...
I will. Huh?
No, it's got illustrations, but it's like Myths and Fables from the Star Wars universe. So... Yeah,
it should be our main topic.
Go to audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons for a 30-day free trial and listen to it yourself. That'll be cool. All right, why don't we go ahead and move forward in the show.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Sorry, I was looking to somebody's claiming that Achuta is actually a friendly greeting. Whether it's a tease or Twilight.
Who is this person?
How did you spell Achuta?
E-chuta.
No, it starts with an A.
I do Achuta.
I know, but is it a real word?
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to keep. The jury's out. All right, we'll keep going. All right, so we're a few days away.
Sam versus the people.
Versus Pablo. Who's going to win? All right, we're a few days away from the onslaught of Star Wars Revelations coming at D23. Mm-hmm. It's going to get big, guys. Why did it take 20 years to build the first Death Star? And could Kylo Ren be nothing less than a double agent for the Resistance?
What?
Why isn't that a... No, or main topic.
Anyway, and since I did the intro before reading the thing, we'll just continue on. All right, D23, all the Star Wars related panels we need to watch. All right, this is
watch.
From Dork Side. Yeah, I guess it's going to be live. Dork Side of the Force released this, so I stole from them. And then a little bit of a tweet or a little something I saw from Star Wars Underworld. We're going to mention sneak peek of the Mandalorian is on deck for D23, but that's not the only Star Wars related content that will be at the show. D23 Expo is Disney's own event. It showcases all of its properties and ventures across the gamut. It doesn't just focus on movies or TV series, but theme parks, history, and more. And this year's event should be a good one for Star Wars fans. There will be plenty of new information about Disney Plus, which includes a look at The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. And according to our friends at the Star Wars Underworld, a preview of The Rise of Skywalker.
Another trailer?
We need.
Yeah. So Friday, August 23rd, we've got the music and sounds of Star Wars Galaxy at 12:30 p.m.
Well, that'd be
kind of
cool.
Yeah. Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series episode 2 first look, which means it's ready to release, guys.
Uh-oh.
Because that's what they did at Celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney Plus Showcase, so that's where you're going to find all the Mandalorian stuff.
Right.
And Saturday, August 24th, is this panel called Go Behind the Scenes with the Walt Disney Studios, and it was released on the end of last week that is where they're having a return of this, the Rise of Skywalker.
But I thought they weren't going to D23.
Oh, that wasn't what, they never said that. The Rise of Skywalker preview.
Do you think we're getting a sizzle reel?
We won't get another trailer. We did after D23 when it comes to The Last Jedi. Right. I'm almost certain that that's what we're going to get. Sunday, August 25th, Heroines of the Disney Galaxies, presented by Box Lunch, which would be nice. Sneak peek of Disney Parks Experience and Products, which is going to be focusing in on Galaxy's Edge and more things. And then Inspiring Women Behind Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. That's kind of cool. People that were behind it.
Yeah.
So, Samuel, other than the T-Ross preview, what are you most excited to see?
Don't steal mine, please.
Sorry?
Don't steal mine.
I don't know what yours is.
Go.
I mean, I'm kind of interested in the sounds one. I mean, they're probably not going to reveal anything, but I've always been interested in the soundtrack and how they make the sounds of Star Wars. Obviously, The Mandalorian. I'm really excited for that. Can't wait to find out more. I'm just worried that they're going to do the same thing that they did at Celebration, where they just cut off the live stream with the sneak peek.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to get the sneak peek. Mm. But then eventually I'm hoping that they'll release the sizzle reel. What do you think about it, BB-8? What are you looking forward to the most?
The Vader Immortal pet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course.
I'm surprised neither of you guys said Mandalorian. Well, is that because we saw the Mandalorian panel at Celebration?
I just said Mandalorian.
No, you said you were going to... It was the music one.
I said that, and then the Mandalorian.
I'm sorry. I'm still reeling from the Achuta revelation. You've been cursing every week.
And then
I just cursed. Gosh. I feel like a horrible person now. I'm sorry.
Can I just, that bad word. If somebody's really irritating me, can I just say?
No, because you know what it means now, and it's bad. All right.
But they don't.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, why don't we maybe move forward?
Let's move on.
Yeah, Star Wars fully explains why the Death Star took 20 years to make.
Because they didn't have Galen Erso. For all of it.
They did have Galen
Erso. No, for all of it.
For most of it. Okay. This is from ScreenRant.com.
ScreenDamp.
Star Wars has fully explained why the Death Star took 20 years to make. The Empire's greatest superweapon, the Death Star, was actually in the works long before Palpatine even officially founded the Empire.
Well, yeah, we saw it.
Mm-hmm. The initial plan, yeah, the initial plans were recovered from the Separatists in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, and the tie-in novel Catalyst revealed that this was a deliberate gambit on Palpatine's part. He was able to argue that the Separatists were presumably working on a Death Star themselves, creating a phantom arms race in which the Republic began to secretly construct the first Death Star over the skies of Geonosis. Other canon material, including new revelations from Thrawn Treason, revealed that the secrecy behind Project Stardust, along with some less than supportive Imperial leadership, a certain scientist's sabotage, you know who that is, Galen Erso, and a number of greedy and treasonous officers contributed to a two-decade building process. So, BB Nate, what do you think would have happened if these delays wouldn't have been significant? What would this have meant for the rebellion?
An interesting question. I never.
Yeah, what if the delays don't happen? What if in 4 or 5 years they build, you know, because that's the length of time it took from the end of A New Hope to the beginning of Return of the Jedi. It was about 4 or 5 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it took them to get that rebuilt. What about if they would have done that originally, would the rebellion have ever been able to take place? It's a what-if scenario.
I don't think so. Because the rebellion was barely built. It was very small at that.
I mean, in Rebels, they just banned, and there were lots of small cells everywhere, but they banded right before Episode 4, you know? So even if there were small pockets, they wouldn't have ever really been able to join together and create a stronger force. I don't think it would have.
It's an interesting thought exercise. It is
very interesting
thought. And so, you know, generally speaking, like in literature and in writing, they'll call this kind of like the God solution with these things, where like these things happen and they just all of a sudden they blame it on God. Well, in Star Wars, you don't have that, right? But I would say could this be the Force solution? Could the Force have conspired against the dark side to create all of these delays, which were necessary for the incubation period, which created the Rebel Alliance?
Right, because there's got to be balance.
Like even in the beginning of The Force Awakens, remember Finn finally is on Jakku. He goes to the little encampment that he meets Rey at. He's been walking in the heat, and he jumps into that water.
Right,
even like did his face in there with that big hippopotamus thing.
What's that thing called?
I don't remember. Anyway, it's drinking all that water, right? And
a hapabore,
yeah. And so, in the novel, it's pretty clearly indicated in the novelization that the Force caused the hapabore to bump him so that he comes out and sees what's going on with Rey. So it's the Force solution that could have been.
Yeah, I've always thought that the Force, you know,
kind of is acting right.
I mean, that's manners. Like the God.
You know what? That's one explanation that some people use for why.
Such a bad shot. Like you see R2 and 3PO walking super slowly across that hallway, and there's blaster bolts flying both ways, and neither of them get hit. You know, I've always pictured that the Force is kind of moving things around, but yeah. Then again, it is a very easy. Explanation, yeah.
Kind of a cool idea with that. Star Wars fans, last one. Star Wars fans think that this line from A New Hope is proof that Kylo Ren will turn.
I think I heard this one.
Good. This is from Esquire.com. We're getting like really highbrow and sophisticated with
Esquire.
This. Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
I haven't used enough of those today. The actually Kylo Ren is good theory has been bouncing around since The Force Awakens was released in 2015, but it's really getting some renewed traction this summer. Last week, a pretty interesting Reddit post So if it's on Reddit, it's got to be true.
Discussed
how it could be likely that Kylo Ren was acting as a double agent to infiltrate the First Order and kill the Emperor when he killed his father, Han Solo. Wow. It could simply be wishful thinking for anyone still shipping Kylo and Rey. But considering these new Star Wars movies are mostly remixes of the original ingredients, it's not wrong to expect Episode 9 to retread the old Skywalker redemption narrative with Kylo Ren, as one Reddit fan writes, and I quote, "I watched TFA last night, and an exchange between Han and Leia reminded me of something. Han says something close to, it's too late for him, he has too much of his grandfather in him. This is close to the conversation." I don't think he actually says that, does he?
Too much of his...
his grandfather in him.
Does
he say that?
I thought Leia said something.
Something like that. Okay. It's too late for him. He has too much of his grandfather in him. This is close to the conversation between Owen and Beru when they say, "You can't keep him in forever. He has too much of his father in him." Owen responds, "I know. That's what I'm afraid of." So obviously, Luke never fully gave into the dark side and managed to redeem his father. Even after a struggle in The Last Jedi, it's clear that the Skywalker bloodline course corrects back to the light, no matter how strong the pull of the dark is, since the whole saga is about balance and finding peace in conflict. I think it's fitting that this would apply to Ben as well. We've heard over and over about how 9 will end all three trilogies, so why wouldn't this theme be carried forward as well? Samuel LaHutt. What are the odds of Bendemption happening, and could Kylo Ren really be a double agent?
I don't think he's a double agent. That doesn't make sense.
That was too far-fetched, because that whole Reddit post had nothing to do really with him being what they're basing it on.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just don't think he's a double agent. That doesn't make sense.
Luke wasn't.
Anyway, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I see where the logic is with it, you know. Every Skywalker so far has either stayed in the light or just turned back to the light. So it makes sense for Kylo to do that. In some ways, I think it would be kind of refreshing to see him not turn to the light. Mm. But our theory, our prominent theory that we like, and I like, requires Kylo to turn to the light. So if it works that way, I wouldn't mind it. But otherwise, I kind of want to change it up a little bit. You know, I don't want a rehash. We've already kind of gotten a rehash of A New Hope. I'm not saying I don't like The Force Awakens. I like The Force Awakens, but you got to admit it's very similar to.
And it's intentionally so. It's right. A resetting of the storyline.
I don't want generation. Another redo of Return of the Jedi. You know, so it's tough. You got to be careful with it. I would like to see a change of pace, but unless they go with our theory. So, anyway.
BB Nate, what do you think? Double Agent Kylo Ren? You like it?
No. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. I don't think we're watching a James Bond movie. I think we're watching Star Wars. I don't think that a double agent would really work in this kind of
like situation. An intentional plant within the First Order.
Yeah, they raised him from a super young age to, all right, you're going to look like you joined the dark side, but you didn't. Like,
you're going
to
use the force.
So that decades down the road,
you'll kill your father.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm yawning here. It seems a bit far-fetched to me. What about Bendemption? What do you guys think? Is it happening? I know you said that you didn't think it. Based on our theory.
There's two options. I expressed them. So.
Yeah. You, Nate, what do you think?
Most likely. But I think we're not going for most likely in this movie, so probably not. I don't think we're going to try to go for what people are thinking.
So you think it's a logical move in this movie, and that's why it's not going to happen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you get to win both ways.
Okay.
Right? Because if it happens, then it was logical. And if it doesn't, you were right. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's move on to the next topic.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
All right, since the release of the Yeah, is that right? Yeah. Since the release of The Force Awakens, Star Wars canon has been peppered with references to Emperor Palpatine's contingency plans for what would happen should he ever be defeated by his enemies. With the return of Darth Sidious and the rise of Skywalker, and this is this contingency going to be fully revealed? A recent set of leaks seems to suggest it's bigger than anything we could imagine.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, the Emperor's evil plan in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is still coming into view. This is from Inverse.com. But the latest toy leak may reveal even more horrifying details.
Strong choice of words.
Could this be our first look at the epic space battle coming in Episode 9? A report last week from MickeyStarWars.net. We like those guys a lot.
Yeah, just a little bit. They're okay.
I think all the podcasts on Making Star Wars Podcast Network,
especially
cool.
That Tatooine song.
That's for they're okay.
Sorry, it was funny.
But they curse a lot. That 18-year-old says bad words every week. Yeah, okay.
I was going to say something, but now I'm not going to.
No, anyway, a report last week from MickeyStarWars.net explained how the new Sith troopers were actually Palpatine's secret army, which had been hiding in wait at the edge of the galaxy in a Star Destroyer ship equipped with Death Star level weaponry.
I got a bad feeling about
it. All right, let's start with that. How do we feel about that idea?
I think
it's not another Death Star. It's not another Star Killer base.
It's the same concept.
It's a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, but it does the same thing as a Death Star.
It's a bigger dreadnought.
It does the same thing as a Death Star.
I don't know if it necessarily does. I'm kind of thinking of it from the perspective, maybe it's not, it's the same technology, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's designed to be a planet killer weapon.
No. Maybe it's like the Death Star when it only did one reactor.
Yes.
Right. Or like the Death Star Return of the Jedi as it's trying to take out
the ships.
So it's using the technology like it's a one shot to take out a Republic ship or something like that. Would you be okay with it from that perspective, using kyber crystal technology?
Okay, that's a little bit better because I didn't want another rehash of the Return of the Jedi. Here's another super weapon for you.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think if it's just like a single reactor, a version of the Death Star, I think that would work very well. I like the idea of the Dreadnought, how it is so big that it can take out entire fleets. But I do like the idea of a bigger version of that that can take out entire cities or entire counties or whatever.
Can I, like, add on that? What if instead of it's like a Death Star, it's like a mini Starkiller base? So the beam actually splits up so it can take out multiple ships in a fleet at
multiple cities.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's all speculation at this point. No. But this is the idea. There's this new super weapon. It's been hidden in the unknown regions that's going forward. Now, this is the quote that actually comes from the MakingStarWars.net article. And we're going to go ahead and do a spoiler alert.
Because this may be on
it. Yeah, I mean, no, it just could potentially be a spoiler on it. But, guys, at this point, we're just speculating on here. So, you're listening to a Star Wars podcast 4 months before the release of the penultimate Star Wars movie in history. So, you can't expect us to not talk about these things. Okay. Sith stormtroopers have been hidden away in the unknown regions. I think we've sort of concluded that already, haven't we?
Yes, think so.
Yeah. It's apparently hellish in those areas. The universe is not entirely
stable. Language.
Yes.
Well, not as bad as some people. The universe is not entirely stable. The area is dangerous and full of peril. Since Emperor Palpatine's death, the fleet has been dodging gravity wells and surviving in the wilderness of space in the unknown regions, waiting to be found and to finish their mission. The Red Sith troopers, which belong to Palpatine, are hidden away inside a massive fleet, probably as a final act. So upon his resurrection, potential, he could dominate the universe once more. However, the Death Star 2 wasn't Palpatine's last project. These Star Destroyers are equipped with planet... Oh, it says it right there. Planet-destroying weapons like the one on the Death Star.
So. Like the one.
Yeah, but it's a planet-destroying weapon.
Similar.
Thoughts? No. What do you think about the idea of these Sith Troopers waiting for the resurrection of an Emperor Palpatine? That, would you be okay with that?
That's cool. I like that idea.
I don't think... Of course, this is all speculation. This is all just very loose rumor leaks or people that have made stories consisting with this leak. I feel like that it would be so... I'm just going to flat out say it's stupid on Disney's part to then make another Death Star.
I know. Yeah.
It's a more portable version of the Death Star. That's great.
Right, yeah, I don't like that idea.
It's not smart. People really didn't have a great reaction to it in The Force Awakens, and they should probably learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go with that.
Do fan service, because it won't be fan service.
Yeah, it's basically just going to be a big gun, I have a feeling. But as for the lying in wait in the unknown regions, just kind of hiding out, I like that idea. It's interesting. It shows that Palpatine, I think you've talked about this in regards to Thrawn, but... Palpatine's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. You know, he's like, he prepares for the worst. You know, he's not so cocky that he's like, oh, I'm never going to die. Sort of like Grand Moff Tarkin in episode 4, where he's like, evacuate in our moment of triumph, and then he gets blown up. You know, the Emperor wasn't that sure of himself. He's like, all right, I've got to make a plan for if this goes south. So I think it's cool. It just shows that the Emperor is the bad guy of Star Wars. I like that idea. Just don't have little Death Stars, please.
Okay, so let's keep it going, because our buddies over at Star Wars Newsnet, they took this and they expanded on it and brought in some things from the Star Wars Armada game.
Oh, that's where this ship leak was from,
actually. Right, and so they brought in some things from it.
It looks
and cool. Then speculated. Okay, so there's just a lot of speculation here,
this
guys.
This is all speculation.
May
this
I make a full...
Yeah, go for it. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it says this in the article, but they have ships in Star Wars Armada that are not canon.
And they're Legends.
They're Legends ships. So this could very well be a non-canon... I think it is described as a First Order ship, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so... It could be canon, or you could take it with a grain of salt. But a lot of... They do have ships that are not entirely canon in Star Wars Armada. So, again, you just got to take it with a grain of salt.
Okay. All right. So, here's what their speculation is. I'm going to go... So, I'm pulling it from their article. Again, all these articles will be in the show notes on our website, TatooineSuns.com, MakingStarWars.net as well, on our post on there on Friday. Whenever this episode's out. If you're hearing this, in most cases... It's already out. So, in the Thrawn novel by Timothy Zahn, the Emperor worked with the Chiss Grand Admiral to explore the unknown regions of the galaxy in an effort to prepare for the future of his empire. The contingency plan hinged around Palpatine's view that an empire that could not protect its Emperor was not worthy to continue. At the Battle of Jakku, the Emperor's plan proceeded in an attempt to destroy the planet, taking the Empire and its enemies down simultaneously. The remnants of his empire would eventually be reborn as the First Order, but this is nothing new to fans who have been paying attention. What is new from this rumor, however, is the idea that the Emperor's plans far exceeded what we have seen on screen. Not only is Snoke just a puppet for the true leader of the Order, but the entirety of the First Order that we've seen thus far is a mere front, drawing the Resistance attention as the true threat. A Sith fleet led by Palpatine himself, what the heck, prepares, I'm just a little blown away by that last sentence there. Prepares for its assault into the unknown regions. How the Emperor survived the Death Star 2 reactor remains a mystery, but if true, this rumor points to a huge confrontation and some truly epic moments in the movie.
This is a very weird, far-fetched... I mean, it's not far-fetched. It's just some interesting speculation that we've been hearing about this. But Palpatine just moving all the chess pieces. during this whole thing.
Yep.
It surprises me in the fact of that. But I had a thought, and it was replying to this, but I just...
You forgot. Okay, BB, Sam, you continue, and then if you come up with it, remind, let us know.
Yeah, when you sent me the show notes, and I read this theory, I really liked the idea that the First Order was a front, or was just a distraction, because in my mind, I don't know why, it just never sat right with me. The First Order was never all that threatening to me. They always seemed kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say
like fanboy wannabes.
Yeah.
Like Empire wannabes.
Like neo-Nazis or something. Just they weren't very organized. They weren't very threatening. Sure, they got some power. They did some stuff. They took over. They are powerful. But
it's sort of the impression that you get about Hux in general.
Yeah.
General Hux in general. What you get about him is sort of you apply it to the rest of the First Order. Yeah, sort of like over the top, campy, wannabe Empire Grand Moth.
It never sat right with me, and I never understood.
And even Kylo Ren, wannabe Darth Vader.
Right, yeah. And I don't. This doesn't really apply all that much, but where did the First Order name come from? Like,
they talk about it in Bloodline.
Okay, I figured it was explained. But, I mean, yeah, it just never sat right with me. And that would make so much sense, the fact that it's a front or it's a distraction. While the real stuff, it's like misdirection, you know, the magician's showing you all the stuff while all the stuff's happening over here, you know?
Which would make sense if they're going to go with this idea that Darth Sidious has been the ultimate bad guy in the history of the battle between the Jedi and the Sith. And he's been moving the, like you said, chess master, moving the pieces around while everybody else is playing checkers. He's playing chess and he's not fazed at all by what happens in Death Star 2 and Return of the Jedi. Yeah, he's got a contingency plan that's ready for it. His spirit, his force presence or whatever, leaves that body, moves into another body or a clone or whatever. I mean, that's kind of very much heir to the Empire, Timothy Zahn type stuff. But
right.
It's interesting. Let's keep going on. It says only the recently revealed ships from the Star Wars Armada game from Fantasy Flight Games. You know, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been to the headquarters there. That was pretty cool. Also catches our eye as a ship that comes close to matching this description. The Onager class Star Destroyer is an Imperial ship. This is the description. That also took inspiration from the Death Star Super Laser. Though at this point in the timeline, Imperial engineers probably couldn't quite give it the same amount of firepower. Well, that's good news. As the moon-sized battle station. So it's kind of, I think, a mix between what we're reading from Jason at Making Star Wars is maybe like a little bit of conclusion on his part versus fact. Perhaps the Onager class was a precursor to the planet destroying ships in the rumor for T-Ross, The Rise of Skywalker. What do you think about this ship in general now?
I like it. Makes a little more sense. Sits better with
it. It looks like a bigger version of a hammerhead Corvette.
Turned on its side.
Yeah.
With a gun in the middle. So not at all.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it is, but it isn't. just kind of give a description. According to Wikipedia, which, you know, Wikipedia lists Turbis the Porg and Samuel the
Hutt. So it's super credible.
BB Nate as the namer of it as under the canon section. Just want you guys to know that. According to the Wikipedia, the Onager class Star Destroyer, also known as Siege Breaker, was an alleged type of capital ship that utilized a kyber crystal super weapon in the capacity of a portable cannon. It was believed to be developed by the Galactic Empire and used kyber crystals powerful enough that it could shatter mountains and anything but the strongest energy shields.
So it's not even like a single reactor ignition.
It's just a very cheap version of the Death Star.
It's probably scaled like a prototype.
Yeah, it might be.
They were just like throwing around ideas and this one kind of worked out. But
Galen Erso bringing it in.
Yeah. Or even before Galen Erso. Well, no, he came up with the idea. Anyway, I like that idea. It's not crazy overpowered. No. You know, sure, it's powerful. It can shatter a mountain or anything but crazy strong energy shields. That's
what about a significant threat. Energy shields?
Probably not. We don't know what the power level of those are.
It's very possible.
I like that idea better. It sits better with me. Anyway.
Okay. It goes on. It says, if the resistance is going up against firepower of this magnitude in T-Ross, they are going to need some substantial firepower of their own. Now, this is where it also gets interesting. Thankfully, according to the expanded novelization of The Last Jedi by Jason Fry, We interviewed him. Yeah, go back and find that episode.
We got his
autographs on the screen behind, or on the silver poster behind us. Yep, it is. Yeah, it is. The Resistance might have just the thing after all, providing there are any of them left. This is a quote from the Last Jedi Expanded Edition. As the Resistance U-55 orbital load lifters were being destroyed by the Supremacy after they evacuated from the Raddus, General Leia Organa tried to imagine a miracle where Inferno Squad returned from their mission to find the Resistance allies in the Outer Rim territories with a task force of Starhawks.
That's the mission that
Black Squadron.
Zay
Versio and
Zay to find.
Right at the beginning of The Last Jedi, like right before The Last Jedi started. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering where they're going. We hadn't talked about that. Nobody mentions that. There's a lot going on there that we don't know about, you know?
It's interesting because a few months ago we did an episode, I think it was right around Father's Day, maybe a little bit before.
You watched it. We watched it.
We watched it as a result of this episode and this theory. I think we called it the craziest Star Wars episode 9 theory on record or something like that.
And it was crazy.
But it brings in Iden. It brings in Star Wars Resistance. It brings them all together in Batuu. And then now we have potentially Emperor Palpatine, an army of Sith that have been hiding in the unknown regions. And potentially, I don't know, maybe Thrawn and Ezra. I don't know.
With my theory that is still holding water.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we've got some definite options there. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So Lucasfilm's first non-Star Wars or Indiana Jones film in years is a Children of Blood and Bone adaptation.
Cool. No clue what that is.
Is it a book maybe? Because it's an adaptation.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, adaptations can also mean comics.
True.
So
that might be interesting. I'll have to look more into that.
You don't have any idea what that is?
Nope. Yeah, I know it's like a magic. It's probably there like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or something.
Lucasfilm Lord of the Rings, Abby.
Well, they need to do the sequel to Willow.
I think they are.
They are. They announced that a couple.
I don't think they announced that there's a sequel coming to Willow.
Well, I know that.
Or a TV series.
Warwick did. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. That's cool.
This wouldn't be news if they had announced a Willow sequel.
True.
All right. So.
Okay.
And you guys haven't even seen The Willow.
No, have you?
But I haven't either. I think it's coming out on Blu-ray again.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
We'll do it to support Warwick. New Star Wars Saga Blu-rays get updated artwork before re-release in November.
Yeah, I don't understand why they have to re-release it in November before the movie comes out. Why would you do that? I mean, I'm going to buy the box set, whatever, the collector's edition set.
If when they have one.
They will. And at that point, we'll have our 79-foot 4K Ultra HD TV somewhere.
Do we have... What is that?
We don't have that yet.
No, is it big enough, though?
No. We'll have to find a new house to build around that. We'll build a house around the TV.
Around?
We'll
get that giant wall thing that I showed you.
Right.
The 219.
4K Ultra HD. And they'll have HD version, 4K versions of the all 9 movies.
We should get the 8K.
We should just build a house.
And then they'll add in some Solo and Rogue One.
We should just build the house and, like, underground, just build, like, an IMAX theater.
Okay.
I'm good.
That plays.
And on that note, you can support us on patreon.com/. No, that doesn't make sense. All right. Domhnall Gleeson, Hugs. General Hugs?
Yeah, a little bit pasty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pasty. Mm-hmm. Just feel like we've done this. Describes his reaction to reading the Rise of Skywalker script. So he was interviewed.
By Frosty, right?
Frosty. Weintraub. Steven Weintraub. Collider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was awesome. He was the one that selected us to be there at the Ryan Johnson IMAX.
It was very angry how they didn't have Parton.
Yeah, he was pretty frustrated. So not like in a negative way, but like in the fans came here for this and you guys didn't have your stuff together. And what are we going to tell these people about Parton?
He wasn't just using clean words.
No, he was using a chuta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Domhnall Hugs describes his reaction to reading the Rise of Skywalker script. So he's interviewed about Kitchen, the movie about Hell's Kitchen and some mob thing. Mm-hmm. At the end, he's like, I have to ask about the Rise of Skywalker. What do you think? I know you can't give us any spoilers. And he basically says,
It's a real page turner.
Hmm.
What do you guys think? Excited? Is it more hype?
Or do you think it's just more confirmation that it's going to probably be really good? Because we've been hearing stuff like this from actors all the time, which we discussed. Is this just them trying to hype up the movie, or are they being genuine?
They're being genuine.
I hope they're being genuine.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. All right.
I mean, hold on. Brian Herring, when we talked to him that one time at 2017, he said that we would love The Last Jedi.
Maybe we'll get something from him at the Comic-Con coming up.
Oh, yeah. We got to find something. We just got to see if we can meet him and find something that you
Porg-related that he can sign.
Yeah.
I need to get him a Turbis shirt. We need to get him a Turbis shirt.
That too, but my Funko Pop.
All right, so let's talk about this current week's podcast poll of the week. Are you excited about the possibility of Palpatine returning with an army of Sith in The Rise of Skywalker?
Okay.
Nothing? You got nothing?
I'm waiting for you to read the options.
The
Kool-Aid Man.
Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. It was a lot more fun the first time we recorded this
segment. Yeah.
The next one, anxious. Sam, you're supposed to speak here. Anxious,
yes.
Oh, well, that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, what did you say in the
recording? I think I said, like, I thought that meant, like, excited, but it's like...
Maybe both, a little bit of both. And then other comment below. What would you say is your answer to this?
Oh, yeah.
This is where we found out recording didn't work the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. All right, that's what I'm going to say, too. I guess that's going to do it for this week's show. We want to thank all of our amazing producers. You guys are the best. Our Patreon supporters make our day. You guys are phenomenal. We've got our producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. You guys are the best. Senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, who jumped on the live Patreon feed for a little bit.
Yep.
That was awesome. Judith Jesse, hi Grammy. She's on the live feed.
She made it home, too, while watching our show.
So. I know. Surprised
that
by
was,
that.
That
made me a little nervous there, Grammy.
Uh-huh.
Roberto Barredo. He's cool with it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the coolest guys I know on Twitter. So, thank you guys for all listening. If you guys want to become one of our Patreon supporters, it's not that hard to do. You can just go to patreon.com/TatooineSons, watch our welcome video, find out which tier you want to be a part of. I think our sticker this week or this month that's ordered, you guys saw him, right?
No.
Nope.
I changed it like 4 times.
It's
on there. It's about having a Star Wars family. It's actually really good. I think you're gonna like it. Remember when we started our false start with this thing when it was a YouTube show, and we had this Tatooine Sons T-shirts, and we had that saying on the back of the T-shirts about the family. That's what's on it.
Oh, cool!
So I created a design for it. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Anyway, send us your money.
Please.
Wow.
If you'd like to. And
we
if you
would
don't,
greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
A lot.
We love you guys. Social media. We're all over Twitter, sort of on Facebook. I mean, we do Facebook pretty regularly. I've spent like 45 seconds in the last week thinking maybe I was going to try to do some more Instagram stuff and then change my mind.
45 seconds.
Yeah. And then we don't do Snapchat because
I don't know how it works.
I have no idea how that thing works. Thank you guys so much for your reviews. Your reviews are our oxygen, in the immortal words of Gary Vaynerchuk. They help my ego.
Our ego.
Well,
we talked a couple weeks ago that your love language is donuts and our love language is words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. So
when you give us those,
reviews mean a lot.
It means a lot to us.
Also, you can send us donuts. That'll make God happy too.
That's true too.
I like donuts.
We love donuts. Yeah. Anyway, are we still doing this show?
I think it's still going.
We should probably go ahead and close this thing out.
If anyone's even listening at this point.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Good.
Get to Old Navy right now. All jeans are on sale up to 50% off. From just $15 for adults, $10 for kids. Try on a pair in-store and save even more with $5 off your purchase of $50 or more during Old Navy's Great Denim Try-On-A-Thon. Hurry in now to find your perfect fit and save big with up to 50% off all jeans. Now at Old Navy. Valid 8/12 to 8/21. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane items, and jewelry. $5 discount valid with jeans purchase.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.